Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here on the channel. On this channel, we focus on helping you become a more educated real estate investor. We tackle everything from taxes to appreciation to financing, you name it. We try to tackle it here on the channel to help you become more intelligent as it relates to your portfolio of rental properties. Whether you're more advanced or just getting started, we think that these questions that our viewers ask can really help anybody on your journey. It doesn't matter if you're a beginner or more advanced. In fact, someone just sent me a message the other day, said, I love your Q&A episodes because I learned so much from other people's questions. And I think we really all could pay attention to that and grow so much. So today is our Q&A episode. We've got three great questions from our audience, and you can leave us a voicemail question if you'd like your question asked and answered. Just go to our website, morrisinvest.com. That's M-O-R-R-I-S. Invest.com. You see a microphone button on the lower right-hand side of the page down there. Click on that, leave us like a 30-second voicemail message, and we'll play it here on the show. All right, our first question comes to us from Justin.
Hey, Clayton. I have a question about self-directed IRAs. If I own my properties in a self-directed IRA, how can I use that cash flow money from the rental income outside of the IRA to live financially free before retirement age? Thanks.
Well, unfortunately, you can't. Thank you, Justin, for that question. So cash flow from the rental property in a self-directed IRA is going to stay inside of that self-directed IRA. So this is something to consider when you want to invest in real estate. Do you need that cash flow now? Or will you wait when you're retired where that cash flow has grown or that cash flow has grown tax-free? So it's important to understand a self-directed IRA. It's a fantastic wealth-building vehicle, but you can't touch it, okay, until retirement age. So that property lives inside of the self-directed IRA bucket, and so does the cash flow from the tenant. So every month, that cash flow stays in that self-directed IRA growing tax-free. So you're not able to use that cash flow now. You have to wait till retirement. Now, of course, you can take a penalty and take that money out if you need to. Speak with your own accountants about that process if you needed to do something like that, to take some sort of a hardship penalty and remove that. But you're going to pay taxes on that if you have to remove that early. So again, I wouldn't suggest it. It is one thing, though, to look at, though, if you need this cash flow now. This comes back to the three stages of real estate investing, right? Buy, own, and cash flow. Remember, we have full videos here on the channel about the three stages of real estate investing. But at the first stage, if you're young, you're in your 30s or 40s or even 50s, and you're in getting into real estate investing, you know, the first stage is you're going to buy those properties. So like Justin's question is, he's going to buy it inside of a self-directed IRA. In many ways, he's almost going to pretend like he doesn't even have that asset. It's going to grow tax-free for him as part of his retirement portfolio. And all of that cash flow is there in that vehicle protected, growing, growing, growing. Now, hopefully, maybe he has a job. He has other things that are bringing income in for his family. So, you know, you're not going to be able to live off of that property at the moment. Right? It's increasing your net worth, but you can borrow against it. That's one way to do it. And we'll get to that in a second. But mostly you're going to be keeping that property in there. You're not going to touch it. And the cash flow from that tenant, you will not be able to touch. That's the buying phase. Okay. Then we own it. Once that tenant has paid off that property, there's no mortgage anymore. Now I own it. Okay. And then the third stage is now it's cash flowing for me. And so you can do that any way you want. One of the ways is to not buy it in a self-directed IRA. You buy it, pretend like you don't even own it. The cash flow from that tenant is coming in. It's paying off the mortgage. And then now you own it. And then eventually it cash flows. Buy, own, and cash flow. When you're starting out, most people are so focused on the cash flow piece of this that they kind of put the cart before the horse. I think that really we should be focusing on acquiring as many assets as we can. Pretend like maybe we don't even have them. I know it might be kind of difficult. It's almost like when you get a raise, almost pretend like you didn't get the raise. Because what our lives do is our lives tend to expand to meet this extra money that we now have. We end up wasting it on meals out and other things. So that raise that we got in many ways disappears. But what if you pretended like you didn't get that raise? And that's kind of the way I look at real estate investing in the early stages. You know, buying those properties, great. Now you've added to my net worth. I'm going to pretend like I don't have them. The tenant is building up the equity, paying down the mortgages on those rental properties. And then the third stage is now the cash flow is there. And holy smokes, wait a minute. I have $10,000, $12,000, $13,000 a month in cash flow from all of these properties that I kind of forgot about. Boom. And then you want to acquire more properties so you're not paying income tax on that cash flow. So things to consider. But then the same thing is true with the self-directed IRA, right? I'm buying it in this vehicle, this tax-free vehicle. The property is increasing in value. The equity is increasing. The tenant is paying it down. That cash flow is growing tax-free. And then when I'm at retirement age, I can take it out tax-free. So buy, own, and cash flow. Now, if you need that money now, I would think about, well, maybe I don't need to be putting it inside of a self-directed IRA at this tax vehicle, right? Maybe I just buy it outside of that. I want to quit my job. I want to live off of this cash flow today. Then I would definitely consider not putting it in a self-directed IRA. But if you did put it in a self-directed IRA, there's also loans that you could take out against that property. Think about how wealthy people do this, right? The reason wealthy people are able to buy all sorts of different assets is because they're taking out loans on the things that are already, you know, they've already got a home, they've already got a yacht, they've already got other things. So what if you took out a loan against your self-directed account that you needed if you wanted that cash flow? So you don't touch the property, you don't touch the cash flow, but you get maybe a personal or a hard money loan against your assets that are in the self-directed account. That is something that's a high level ninja move, but absolutely something you could do to take advantage of those assets today without affecting the self-directed IRA property, without getting the penalties and all of that, borrow against it and keep it inside of the self-directed IRA. That's what I would do if I needed that money like immediately. So thanks for that question, Justin. All right, next question comes to us from Mike.
What are the most promising cities to invest at the moment?
Thank you, Mike. That is a deep voice. Mike says, what are the most promising cities to invest at the current moment? Well, again, I think we're in a bubble market for a lot of different areas where we had really inflated property values. So I like to avoid those areas. I like to invest in boring areas. I like to invest in areas that do not make the headlines of the Wall Street Journal and CNBC and other places. So I want to avoid San Francisco. I want to avoid Vegas. I want to avoid Phoenix. I want to avoid Vancouver. I want to avoid, you know, on and on the list goes, New York City, Miami. Those are places I don't want to invest. I want to be far away from those places. I can only speak to what our team does in our research. So before we begin building properties in any one of our markets, we spend a long time, well over a year, analyzing market data, seeing if there's population increasing, crime decreasing, jobs increasing, if it's favorable for taxes, is it a landlord-friendly state? What does the property management situation look like there? Do we have great property management teams that we can work on? So all of that I have to look at as the criteria here, Mike, before I ever make a decision more deeply about a property, okay? If those things are in place, then I can start to dive deeper into some of the demographic data. Are there multiple job sources here? Are there more than one, you know, is there more than one industry here? Is it just this one oil refinery? That's a problem. But are there healthcare, you know, is there universities? Are there cars, car manufacturing plants? All sorts of different diversity of jobs. That's another thing that I want to look for. I would say, Mike, where we are building our properties right now is one of the best areas in the country, in West Texas. You know, Texas is probably the most landlord-friendly state in the country from a landlord protection perspective. It also has no state income tax, right? So you get that benefit. Has great school districts where we're building. Crime is low. Jobs are growing. Everyone is moving to this state. So you have, you see this migration away from blue states into red states. That's absolutely happening in Texas and Tennessee, also great areas. So look at those demographic data, Mike, and think about those things, right? Low crime, appreciation, job growth, diversity of jobs, property management. Is it a landlord-friendly state? What does the overall crime category look like? What is the weather infrastructure? What does the overall infrastructure look like? Highways and bridges and roads and communities that are able to expand. So those are all things to consider, Mike. Today's episode is brought to you by R Crowd. You know, all around the world, tech companies are innovating and driving returns for investors. And R Crowd analyzes companies across the global private market, selecting those with the greatest growth potential and then brings them to you. From personalized medicine to cybersecurity to proton therapy, a $20 billion total addressable market, in state-of-the-art labs, startup garages, and anywhere in between, our crowd is identifying innovators so you can invest when growth potential is greatest, which is early. Now, our crowd is the fastest growing venture capital investment community. They have accredited investors that have already invested over $1 billion in growing tech companies. 21 of the portfolio companies are unicorn stocks, and many of the R Crowd's members have benefited from the over 40 IPOs or sale exits of portfolio companies. Now, you can invest in HIL Applied Medical, who's using Nobel Prize-winning technology to bring the most advanced radiotherapy treatment to cancer patients. HIL's world's first laser-based system has earned them an agreement with the Proton International, which is the largest proton therapy operator in the United States and Europe. Invest in HIL Applied Medical by going to rcrowd.com/Clayton. That's ourcrowd.com/Clayton. You can join our crowd for free at rcrowd.com/Clayton. Join the fastest growing venture capital investment community at rcrowd.com/Clayton. All right, our next question comes to us from John. Take it away.
Hi, Clayton. I have a question. I have $250,000 in my account right now, and I'm trying to find out, should I reinvest the money into another house, or should I pay off an existing loan on a home I have?
Thank you, John. Well, the answer to that question is yes. So I know it's maybe it's a cheap way out, but honestly, as we write about in our book, How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, I like the two-pronged approach, to be honest with you, John. I don't like just going all in on one thing. Think about it. The home you live in is not a performing asset. So you've got $200,000 in cash sitting on the sidelines right now. I would absolutely be deploying a large chunk of that in order to buy additional rental properties. So if I had $200,000, to me, that's four down payments, right? $40,000 to $50,000 is what is like a down payment on one of our new construction properties, right? So that's four rental properties that would be bringing in cash flow, thousands of dollars a month in additional cash flow. So what if you did it that way, Mike? I'm sorry, Mike, John. What if you did it that way, John, where you're able to get that additional cash flow, and using that cash flow, you fire it towards the principal balance of your mortgage, or use a chunk of it instead of using $200,000 on investment properties? What if you used $100,000? Using $100,000, fire that towards your principal balance of your current mortgage that you live in, right? And then what you're doing is you're opening up other opportunities as well, John, right? Home equity line of credit that you could then tap into an equity on your primary mortgage. Remember, you cannot eat equity. So if you're sitting on equity in a property, that's additional equity you could use to go out and buy additional rental properties. But I wouldn't personally, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with your money. So do your own due diligence on this. But if I had $200,000 in cash, I can tell you right now, I am not using it. I'm not going to be using it to pay down my primary mortgage. A little bit, but I'm going to use that bulk of that cash to invest and to build up additional performing assets in my family. That's what I'm going to do. Remember, we are a debt-based society, right? Since we moved off the gold standard in the United States, we are debt. We are a debt economy. And that is how Wall Street operates. And they make billions of dollars a year. Why shouldn't you also use debt to build your net worth? I mean, should it just be up to them? Should it just be Jeff Bezos and those guys that make all the money? No, use the same system. Use debt. Use this strategy in order to build up your equity, using a portion of that for down payments and then using the bank to carry the rest for mortgages on these investment properties and build up that cash flow. It's an amazing tax shelter. And of course, then you get the benefits of the depreciation on your taxes, and the list is endless here, John. So that would be my advice if I was speaking to myself. But your mileage may vary, and then using a portion of that to fire it at the principal balance of your primary mortgage could really accelerate your payoff of that property and alter your overall interest timeline for your amortized mortgage. I hope you found that helpful. We have a great website. If you go to morrisinvest.com, MORRIS, we have tons of great blog posts and resources there for you to become a more intelligent real estate investor. I would encourage you to go there, read them. But also there's a microphone button where you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question here. We'll play it here on the show. and hopefully give you some great answers on your journey to becoming a more intelligent real estate investor. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. Certainly look around in this economy right now. Holy smokes. I don't want to be tied to Wall Street, that's for sure. We'll see you next time, everyone.